All right, very good. Good singing tonight. Take your Bible, go back if you will, please, for re-emphasis sake, and look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. As I often do, I'll read it again for us to be able to look at it more closely where the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run," it says, "with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And tonight, as I announced earlier, I'll speak tonight on what every race has in common. What every race has in common. When I was coming up in high school, of course, I attended a public school there in Maryland where I grew up, the North Carroll High School. And we had about 1,300 students at the time that was in the high school there, 9th through 12th grade. And I remember us having a big athletic program. And when I graduated, we had about 300 that graduated in my graduating class. And so it was a pretty going high school. And when I was heavily involved in the sports program, I was only involved really year-round, if you would please, in two type of sports. One was boxing, and the other one was track and field. And I did a lot on the track, and I did a lot in the field. And so, I was familiar with those two particular athletic events, if you would call them that, that I was involved in. And but then I played a little bit of football one year and stuff like that, wrestled a little bit one year and stuff like that. But I enjoyed immensely the track and field. I really did. We did sprinting and stuff like that. I tried one time in my life. I had a friend of mine, Fred Stein, that talked me in to running a long distance run over the summer. He said, "You know, you need to practice long distance running." And can I tell you, I about died. You know, I was used to running as a sprinter, and so I took off just like a sprinter would take off, not really thinking about much. And I thought, what in the world is wrong with these sorry runners? They're so far behind, and they can't win a race that way. And after all of them passed me, I thought, boy, these are the wisest people I've ever seen running a race. And so it is tonight, where the Bible says this. The Bible says, let us, it says, run with patience the race. There in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, that is set before us. Here's what I find out. A lot of people, especially in even the Christian, what they do is they start off fast. Boy, they jump into everything and they bite it off ever so fast, only to find out that after a while they spend all their energy and you just can't find them. Or you do find them. They're laying down somewhere underneath a tree trying to catch their breath and not knowing how to get up and do it again. And so the Bible talks about how we, like, if you would please, a race that we would run. We're supposed to run that race, and we're supposed to do it with patience. Other words, I believe that the Holy Spirit is giving emphasis here about the pacing yourself, about, if you would please, not taking off as a sprinter in a long run. Now, it's good to be excited about things. I want us to be excited about big days. I want us to hit good number of crowds on the big days, and I want us to see people come to know Christ in a marvelous way on big days where we see multiple countless of people being saved and baptized, and that is wonderful. That is just so wonderful. But you know, I'd like for you to have the ability to come on Sunday morning. I'd like for you to have the ability to come on Sunday night. I'd like for you to have the ability to come on Wednesday night. I'd like for you to be able to get in there and stay with it all the way through. I'd like to see it serving God as a young person, as a middle-aged person, oh, and yes, what we would call an older person. I didn't say old person. I said older person, all right? And so I'd like to see you be able to serve God all the way through and to be faithful until the time that God calls you home. Now, in order to do that, I want us to understand some things tonight that every one of us have in common when it comes to running a race. All right? I want you to think about some things along this line tonight, that every race, think with me if you will, has a starting place. Every race has a starting place. Now it doesn't matter if it was the track and field event that I was involved in, or the many track and field events that I was involved in as a young man, or running, if you would please, that one time where I did the, I think it was a 22-mile run or something like that. We had to start somewhere. Now here's what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and then the day of salvation have I succored thee." That means he drew by the way of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now the Calvinists don't like that, but that's what your Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that God says that a person can get saved now. All right? And so I remember the day that I received Christ as my Savior. Perhaps you remember the day when you received Christ as your Savior, and that was your starting place. Before I got saved, I never had a Bible of my own, never owned a Bible of my own. I knew the Bible characters coming up as a Roman Catholic young man, so I knew all about the Bible characters. I knew about Mary and Joseph, and I knew about all the apostles, and knew basically, figuratively, who they were and what they did and things of that nature, but I did not know Bible truth. I did not know Bible principles. I did not know, if you would please, the things of the Word of God that a person could be able to adopt in their lives that would change their lives forever. And when I received Christ as my Savior, that was my starting place. My starting place. That was the place, if you would please, where everything became bright. That was the place where, if you would please, everything became known. That was the place, if you would, tonight, where my eyes begin to open about the things of God and the things that are truthful and the things that man ought to learn to be able to be profitable in God's sight. And so, everybody, I believe, that is in the race that's a Christian ought to be that one place, if you will, that is a starting place. Now, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about," it says, "with a great a cloud of witnesses." Now, I believe that's the saints of God in heaven. I believe that they're looking over the portals of glory, and it might be you could compare that to somebody that's sitting in the bleachers. You might compare that to somebody sitting in the stand. You might compare that to a loved one, if you would please, that has great interest in you as you're performing in the event that is before you, and they're there not just to watch and observe you, but they're there to cheer you on. They're there, if you would please, to kind of give you some personal coaching as they yell from the bleachers for whatever event that you're involved in. And so we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now he gives a little bit of a warning here. He says, "And let us lay aside every weight." I know in training, when we had training as a young man, we'd have to wear the vest, if you would please, that was the weight vest. We'd have to wear ankle weights, and we would have to do those sprints and ankle weights. And I remember wearing the vest, if you will, when we did the cross-country training. All right? And so you put the weights on and you wear the weights. Now, God says here, he says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Now, why? Because you want to run the race to the best of your ability, and you can't do that if you're weighted down. Now, that's not necessarily talking about those that eat too much. But it's talking about weight that you put on yourself. All right? Now watch this, if you will. And so, it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset." You know why? Because normally when a person has their eyes on sin, they do not have their eyes on the Savior. The Bible talks about that you're either the servant of sin or you're the servant of the Savior. Now there's a choice for you. All right, so here's what we understand. Then he says now, he says that after you've done that, after you've set these things aside, he says to run the race, he says, to run it with patience, with patience. Now that means you have to be patient with other people. That means you have to be patient with yourself. That means that you've got to be patient, if you would please, as you come across different types of challenges in your life, as you work through those challenges, to be able to know how to be able to perform and how to be able to act and how to be able to execute wisdom when it comes to comparing yourself to these events. Now, but there has to be a starting place. There has to be a time when you know that you need Christ as your Savior and you understand that Christ is the only way to go to heaven. heaven and receive Christ as your Savior, and you settle it forever. And when you do that, that's a starting place. All right, so every race has a starting place. Statement number one, every race, statement number two, has a prescribed course. Now, Paul talked about that. Paul talked about that prescribed course in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, I fought, he says, a good fight. I finished my, watch it now, course. He says, I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. All right? And so, there's a starting place. With everybody runs a race, there's a starting place. For you as a young person that's coming up in the household of your parents, sometime in your life, you're going to have to realize that God wants you to do things for him. God wants you. Now, thank God for mom and daddy, but you can't hold on to mom and daddy's apron strings all your life. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to be responsible for being a soul winner. There's going to come a time when you're going to have to be responsible for being a separated Christian. There's going to come a time in your life, my dear beloved friend, where you're going to take up and need to take up the responsibility of surrendering your heart to God. It doesn't matter if mama's heart is surrendered to God, and it doesn't matter if daddy's heart is surrendered to God. Here's my question tonight to a young person here. Is your heart surrendered to God? We understand this tonight. We understand there has to be a starting place. There has to be a prescribed course. Paul said this, emphasizing here, he says, I have finished my course. Now, you may run different courses in your life. That's not talking about changing the will of God. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The word repentance there in that particular verse means that a change of mind. So God said this, that his gifts and his callings for you, he's not going to change his mind about. If God's called you to preach, you're always called to preach. Hello? If God's called you to be able to perform a task for him, he may change that course. I know fellas that once they were missionaries, now they're pastors. I know fellas that once they were pastors and now they're evangelists. I know people that was once pastors and now they're assistant pastors. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. That doesn't mean that they stepped out of the will of God. Sometimes God will change your course. God does not change the fact that he's called you, if you will, please, to perform ministry in his name. Now, here's what we understand. So he said this. Paul said this. He said, look, I fought a good fight. He said, looking back over my life, he's an old man now, about 61. And he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. All right, now watch this. And so you and I are supposed to fight a good fight. I mean, fight a good fight. We were in Brooklyn, New York, when I worked for Dr. John Morgan in Brooklyn, New York, many years ago, International Baptist Church. And I was on his staff for years there. And we used to live above an Italian man that owned his own carpet business. We lived on the upper floor. He had his business on the lower floor. Never will forget. One evening, my wife and I was heading out to dinner. We had a nice dinner plan, and so we're heading out. There was two drunks. They were fighting outside my car door. We couldn't get in. So we waited, and so you remember this, honey? And boy, they were fighting, and then they started to wrestle. You know, they started swinging so much, they started hugging each other. And they started wrestling and rolling, and they rolled on the sidewalk right outside of her car, but gave us room to get in. And so we just passed them up, and we got in. So what'd you do? We watched them. There's nothing like watching stuff like that, a real wrestling match before supper. And so we're sitting in the car, and we're watching them wrestle, and they're wrestling, and they were just as drunk as two drunk men could be. They weren't going to hurt each other. It looked like that they were in love or something. I don't know. But they were hugging, and they were wrestling and trying to throw each other off and trying to kick each other, and they were kicking but not hitting. They were kicking in the air. It was a mess, but it was the funniest mess you'd ever see in your life. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, all right? Did you know that a person, if you will, they're called to fight a good fight? Now, that's not talking about that type of fight. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of the wickedness of this world. You have a greater person to wrestle against, but you can't do that in flesh and blood. You can't do it. You're going to lose every single time. You can't do it. The arm of the flesh shall fail you. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I'm having trouble smoking, and I'll give it up. Huh. You may try to give it up, but can I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to give up if you have God's help. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Oh, but preacher, I've got trouble with drugs. I've got trouble with an addiction. I've got trouble with this, that, or the other. Hey, can I tell you tonight that God can help you with every single problem you've got, but you've got to come to God. You've got to trust in God. You've got to let God have control in your life. Here's what we understand tonight. There has to be a starting place when it comes to this race that's common to all of us. There has to be a prescribed course. The Bible says in verse 8, we're in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, the Bible says, as Paul just got done giving us verse 7, he said this, he said, henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not, it says, to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, wait a minute. And so there's a prescribed course. Never get your eyes off of the goal. Never get your eyes off of Christ. Never get your eyes off of the course. You can get your eyes off of the course. You know, they said you could take a rocket, and if you're shooting it here, say to the moon, if it's just off inches at launching, it will miss the moon by miles. You can get off course, my dear friend, just a little bit. And by getting off course just a little bit, you're going to wind up someplace you ought not be. So keep your nose in the right course. I said every race has these things in common. Every race has a starting place. Every race has a prescribed course. Every race, statement number 3, has certain rules and regulations. By the way, some Christians that are lazy Christians or backslidden Christians, they say, well, I don't like the rules, if there is some. I don't like the regulations, if there is some. But isn't that something? If you work down at Chick-fil-A, we have many of our college girls here and some of the boys that work at Chick-fil-A. Let me tell you about Chick-fil-A. They have rules and regulations. You go down to work at Walmart, there's rules and regulations. We have those that work at police academy or police stations, if you will. There's rules. There's regulations. We have many nurses that's in our church. Rules and regulations. We have teachers that's in our school, both in the private school, the private sector, also in the Christian school, and there is rules and regulations. We have people that own their own businesses, and for your business, my dear friend, you have rules and you have regulations. So, should it surprise us that the God of heaven puts down some rules and regulations when it comes to running the race? Here's what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, and if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. The Bible says, and every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. The Bible says, so fight I. He says, not as one that beateth the air. But he says, I keep my body, he says, and I bring it into subjection, lest at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. All right, so what's he saying here? He said there are certain rules and there are certain regulations that I keep so that I do not become a castaway. There's two ways a person becomes a castaway. What's a castaway? Somebody set on the shelf. Sometimes a person will set themselves on the shelf. Oh, most of the time that comes by discouragement. It comes by thinking that maybe God can't use me. And so I just give up and I say, okay, I guess I'll be shelved. And that's about it. They never served God again to the capacity they once did, and so they set themselves on a shelf. Sometimes God sets somebody on a shelf. All right? Paul said this. I don't think Paul had I think he had a fear, but I don't think that fear would ever come to be, because he himself said, he said this about being a castaway. He said, listen, I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He was afraid of that. You show me a person that's afraid of that, and I'll tell you somebody's probably not going to wind up there. You show me a person that's afraid of drowning, so they never go by water, I doubt if they're going to drown. You show me a person that's afraid of getting a car wreck because they speed down the road, my dear friend, got news for you, they probably will never speed down the road enough to get in a car wreck. You show me a person that's afraid of chewing bubble gum, so much the soul that they never put bubble gum in their mouth, afraid they might choke. They'll probably never die of swallowing bubble gum and choking to death. So here's what Paul said. He said, I don't want to be a castaway. You know, if you have a fear of doing something wrong, it's better than not having a fear of doing something wrong. It probably means it's better for you. Hello? You ought to have a fear of drinking liquor. You ought to have a fear of doing drugs. You ought to. You ought to have a fear of listening to the wrong type of music that's going to contaminate your soul. There ought to be a fear about that. There ought to be a fear about hanging around the wrong crowd. There ought to be a fear about that. There ought to have a fear of getting involved with the wrong type of people. There ought to be a fear about that. Hey, Paul said this. He said about this race running. He said there has to be a starting place. There's a prescribed course, and there is certain rules and regulations if you're going to strive according to the master. You've got to do it. You know, when we ran track and field, if you ran outside, if you would please, of where you were supposed to run, especially in receiving the baton, that would be a fault, and it would disqualify you. If you dropped the baton, it would disqualify you. There were certain rules and regulations about running and about receiving that which was about to be handed off to you. So hear what Paul is doing. Paul is simply reminding us, pay attention to the rules, pay attention to the regulations. By the way, don't get mad at mama and don't get mad at daddy when they say it's good for you to brush your teeth. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense to me. Look at all the toothless people. That ought to help you. Don't get mad at them when they say, hey, look, it's time for you to make the bed. Don't get upset with them when they say, eat your green beans. Don't get upset with them when they say, pay attention to the preacher when the preacher preaches. Don't get upset with them. Statement number one, every race has a starting place. Statement number two, every race has a prescribed course. Statement number three, every race has certain rules and regulations. Statement number four, I'm talking about every race has many hindrances. Many hindrances. Many hindrances. I don't know how many times I saw my friends and they would run and they blow a knee out. Oftentimes you'd get to see blown knees. They'd pack them with ice, and if they swelled up so bad, they'd stick a needle in them and drain it out. Painful stuff. I've seen people when I ran races, they'd go to those high hurdles and they spent more time on the ground than they did in the air. Yeah. Painful, painful. Hindrances, hindrances. Watch this, if you will. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, you did run well. Who have hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Hindrances. Sometimes hindrances come in people. Little girl comes to me and says, preacher, I like him. I say, is he saved? Well, no, he's not saved, but I like him. He's got good character. Well, the Bible says you're not supposed to get involved with an unbeliever. Oh, but preacher, you know, it'll be okay. It's never okay. God's word is always right. You don't need to doubt him. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ onto another gospel. Sometimes there's people that preach another gospel. They're preaching a work salvation. Well, don't get caught up in that. Sometimes people will preach, if you would please, you need to get baptized in order to be saved. Don't get caught up in that. Don't be tossed by every wind of doctrine like the child. Learn your Bible, learn your doctrine. That's why we use a lot of verses. We want you to learn your Bible. We want you to learn your Bible doctrine so that you can be able to be that steady Christian and know what to do, when to do, why to do, and where to do it. May I say this? I'm saying tonight that these are things that we have in common as we run a race. Every race has a starting place, has a prescribed course. Every race has certain rules and regulations. Every race has many hindrances. Statement number next. Every race has many encouragements along the way. Many encouragements. You know, if you stay in it long enough, somebody will encourage you. They will. Somebody will come along and say, "Boy, thank God for you." Lady called the church this past week and said, she said, "I've been listening to your series on prayer. And I want you to know," and she's from someplace, I think in Iowa, and she said, "I've been listening to your series on prayer." And she said, "I want you to know, it's changed my life." Amen. All right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's many encouragements along the way. Here's what we see, Philemon. Philemon 1 and verse 20, here's what it says in verse 20. The Bible says, "Yea, brethren," he says, "let me have joy of thee in the Lord." He says, "Refresh my bowels," he says, "in the Lord." There's refreshing. Now, by the way, don't always go looking for this. You be somebody that does the refreshing. Look for ways to refresh people. Give you some ideas. Find out what their favorite drink is. Now, I'm not saying alcohol. No. But find out what their favorite drink is and refresh them. Refresh them. Hey, let me help you with your marriage. Find out what your wife's favorite things are. And even if you're brain dead, you can do this. Find out what your wife's favorite things are and put them on the calendar and calendarize when you're going to give her that favorite thing. By the way, you can do that for your husband too. Yeah. Yeah, now the men say amen. A little bit ago, you're hiding your head. You're going down to pray. But find out some. By the way, children, are you listening to me tonight? Find out some of your favorite things that your parents like. Find out their favorite restaurant. You save up some money and send mom and daddy on a date. And you pay for it. Are you listening to me, church? Find out some of the favorite things that your friends have in their life. Find out. Now, some people advertise it. Give me an example. What does Kenny like to eat? See, Kenny, you're famous. He likes Whataburger. Everybody knows that. You know why? Because he tells everybody. All right? But you say, "Well, I don't have a platform like Brother Kenny to be able to advertise so that people will give to me Whataburgers." Okay? But you can be able to ask your friends. What is it that you like in your life? It doesn't have to be expensive. By the way, let me help you out a little bit. You can write somebody a 3x5 card. No, we used to have a man that used to come here, and he doesn't come here anymore, but he moved away because of job, but he used to meet me out in the lobby. He'd write down every word that I mispronounced, and he'd hand it to me on a 3x5 card. He said, "Preacher, older man, older than 61. He'd write it down. And he'd say, "Now, preacher," he'd say, "this is to help you in your preaching." And I'd say, "Thank you very much. I appreciate that." I'd look at it, and then I'd discard it. I did look at it first, and then I'd get rid of it. All right? Now, wait a minute. But you can help people, not by necessarily doing that, but you say, "I don't have a lot of money." You can write somebody a note on a 3x5. I'm just trying to help you tonight. You understand? You can write somebody a note on a 3x5 card. Hello. Now, you don't have to do this if you're liking a boy. "I like you. Do you like me?" You know, you're 4.5. Forget it. But I'm saying this. You could write some people on a 3x5 card. You could buy your wife favorite flowers if she's not allergic to them. You could uh, you could go out for a favorite ice cream. You don't have to be, you know, you could tell your kids, they'll get all excited. You just tell your kids, hey, we're going to ice cream tonight. We're going to treat you to ice cream. Look, go down to Sam's, buy yourself a bunch of ice cream, put it in the cooler. Go over to the park, dip it up, put a bunch of chocolate on it, you know, the chocolate syrup and stuff, a bunch of cherries or whatever, and just have fun. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's fun to love people. Amen. Don't always look for people that's going to love you, but it is fun to love people. It's fun to enjoy our favorite time around the house. All of our kids are grown. They're all adults, and we have now 6 grandchildren. And did you know that the funnest thing that we have at Christmas time and birthday time is giving gifts? We love it. It takes us broke, but we love it. Now, can I tell you, we enjoy watching them sit around and watching them open up. But you don't have to wait for Christmas. All the kids said, that's right, Mama. That's right, Daddy. Listen, pay attention. Here's your part of the sermon, okay? But you don't have to wait for Christmas to love your parents. And you don't have to wait for Christmas to be able to love a friend. You don't have to wait for a special occasion. And you know, there ought to be some times in your life where you just say, hey, here's what I'm going to do for you because I love you and I care about you. I want to encourage you. There's some goodness about that. If you learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he went about doing good. Now, doesn't the Bible teach us this? He that hath friends must, you talk to me now. He that hath friends must, oh my. Well, that doesn't say that people are supposed to be friendly to you. Says you're supposed to be friendly to them. And by the way, if you're friendly to enough people, somebody's going to be friendly to you. But you need to spend time being friendly to people. Here it is. I know I'm meddling in your business, but it sure was fun. Here's what we see, that if we're going to run the race well, there's going to be many encouragements along the way. Many encouragements. I love to hear the young preachers preach, don't you? I love to sit behind them and say amen, don't you? I love to say, boy, you did a good job. That's good. That's good. Love to hear the kiddos sing. I love it. I love the Patch the Pirate program that we have, and you got your kids involved in it on a Wednesday night, and the 60 or so kids get up, and they sing, and boy, I love to be able to listen to them and watch their smiles and watch some of them that don't know the words, but they try. I mean, I love to be able to watch them and just encourage them. And by the way, if you encourage, I said, enough people, someday, somewhere, somebody's going to encourage you. I'm saying every race has a starting place. It has a prescribed course. It has certain rules and regulations. It has many hindrances and many encouragements along the way. And then lastly, every race that's to be run is supposed to be run with patience and perseverance. Not just patience only, but perseverance. Here's what the Bible says. We'll finish where we started tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I can't help but think about it. My mama died when she was 57. I think she's in that cloud of witnesses. My daddy died when he was 57. I think he's in that cloud of witnesses. My older brother died when he was 57. They all had one thing in common, 57. And they all died. And wait, and here's what I see. I believe they're in that great a cloud of witnesses. The people that raised me long before I ever met my parents, I believe that they're in that great cloud of witnesses. You might have somebody that's passed on to the other side talking about heaven in that great cloud of witnesses. As they look over the portal of glory and saying, come on now, you can make it. Don't you quit. You just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. By the way, are you listening to me tonight? Some of you have a younger brother or sister. They're watching you. Some of you have an aunt or an uncle. They're watching you. Some of you have an older brother or sister. They're watching. They're watching. They're watching you. Some of you have friends. I have many friends that's gone on to glory. Can I say, when they look over, I'm always conscientious of the fact when I begin to think about this verse that they are watching me. Now, can I say tonight, here's what it says. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience The Bible says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now watch this in verse 2, and I'm done. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, wait a minute. Looking on to Jesus. Then watch this as I connect it together. The author and finisher of our faith. I was raised on a 180-acre farm in Millers, Maryland. My grandfather plowed with a mule. Now, he taught me to plow with a tractor. I thank God he taught me how to plow with a tractor, not with a mule. I watched him have trouble with the mule. The mule didn't want to obey all the time. Reminds me of different church members sometimes. But the mule, my. And so, but I watched him, and here's what he said. He said this. He said, Mike, if you ever want to plow a straight line, always get yourself a marker. He said, don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Keep your marker in sight. He said, don't even look back to see if it's straight. He said, the minute you look back, you'll see there's a curve. He said, it'll get out of place. Keep your marker in straight. Then when you get to the end of the furrow, he said, everything could be fine. But he said, now you do what I tell you to do and it'll work out fine. Well, even on a tractor, even after he died and I'd help out on the farm, I'd be over there and he had one of these old Ford tractors, you know, the big old four wheels and stuff. And I'd get on the tractor and I'd go out there to take that and I'd go through the field. And did you know that sure enough, God was young back then, but sure enough, when I would turn, I'd turn the wheel a little bit. I look back and there'd be this. You know why? Because I look back. The biggest discouragement you'll have in your life, my dear beloved friend, is when you spend time looking back. Well, I wish I would've. I wish I could've. Well, I remember the day when I messed up. Now, I want to tell you something. You don't need to live there. You don't need to live there. Now, just in case you don't know, everybody in this room has messed up at one time or another. Don't let some high, pious Christian come to you and say, well, I'll tell you what, I never did what you did. Well, they probably did worse. Don't let somebody look down on their own nose at you. Don't do that. Now, I'm telling you this. Listen to me now. He says to keep your eyes on the author, and finisher of our faith. Amen. Now, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the author, and he's the finisher. So if I keep my eyes on him, he never fails. Amen. He'll never sell you out short. Right. He'll never cheat you. He'll never give you a word and break it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now watch the rest of it, and I'm done. Here's what it says. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. What joy are you talking about? Well, notice what he's talking here about. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That doesn't sound like much joy to me. But he wasn't looking, watch it now, he wasn't looking at only the cross. He's looking beyond the cross, what the cross supplied. If it wasn't for the cross, you and I as his beloved children would not be sitting here tonight. Blood bought. Listen to it now. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what do? I look to him. Man will fail you. Man will disappoint you, but he never will. So as I look to him, he'll help me every single step of the way. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. We help John Hamblin. We have a publishing company here now that we have Parkside Publications, and so we help men to be able to put together books. And then we publish them, and then we get them out to the public. So I was preaching with Hamlin over at John Hamlin over, and he came to preach at a conference with me over in Colorado Springs, over in the Springs, Colorado, Matt Miller's church. And I was sitting with him in the hotel lobby, and I said, "Look, I said, you're big on this media stuff. I said, somebody needs to write a book and could call it the blessings and the blemishes of social media. I said, I'll make you a deal. If you'll write it, we'll edit it, and we'll produce it, and we'll get it out for you. You know, this thing's become a hot potato. Now, it's not because of Hamlin. It's because of who changed Hamlin. So many times, here's what we do. Stand up, if you would. So many times, here's what we do. We'll look at someone and say, oh, what a man. Ooh, what a man. But if it was not for Christ, the man would be different. So it's all because of Christ. And as we help our young people and we stay looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, we would be amazed at how he is the one that can help us. We all run the same type of race, if you will. We have that in common. But God gives us some principles. Thank you, Doc. God gives us some principles to be able to follow, to be able to run our race well. I pray that you will.